And here we are on the other side. So did you...
Phone under a bad sound, baby.
How fitting, you know? I mean, it's just, they're like so mafia. Before we get into the Molly Ringwald thing and the Tony Robbins thing, I just want to quickly talk about Equal Pay Day. You know, I mean, I saw that I didn't post anything about it, and I kind of chose not. I understand why we have it, because it's to call attention. But we have Equal Pay Day, but we don't have equal pay. So and yesterday, I thought, or I don't know if it was yesterday, but in the last week or so, Arizona legislature shot down a conversation about the Equal Rights Amendment. Not surprising, it's deep red, but you know, I mean, that's close to my heart, the Equal Rights Amendment, getting that enshrined into the Constitution. I think it's going to be something we can do once we get our progressive Congress. But I'm starting to resent these days where it's like, and same thing like with Black History Month, or why is it just a month? Why is it some day? Okay, yes, we're recognizing it, but Black History Month should be all, it should be Black History Year. It's all of our history. It's not just, you know, a day or a month or whatever. Equal Pay Day. We need to have Equal Pay Year. You know, it's like everybody gets, it's it kind of irritates me that we have this day and then everybody posts about it, and okay, there's a certain awareness to it, but it's not going to change until we get people in power to change it. And so, you know, that's my little rant about it, because it's like, I feel like, you know, I mean, I also didn't post anything for Siblings Day, which I think was yesterday. And I kind of have this rebellious nature. Have you noticed? But it's like a rebellious thing. Like, don't tell me I have to buy a Valentine's Day card. Don't tell me I have to do that. If I want to tell the person I'm with I love them, that I don't need a reminder from, you know, the Hallmark conglomeration to do that. I can figure it out for myself. But I just, you know, I mean, I post about equal pay and equal rights all year long. So I just kind of felt like it was irritating to me, because we're dealing with the Trump administration, who is, they're just making it harder and worse for women. So to have this, you know, glorified day to me is meaningless. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. I know.
I agree with you. I agree with you. A 1,000,000,000%. I do.
Yeah,
I'm fucking sick of it.
We got to get moving on this stuff. All right. So, did you read the article? I don't have the title in front of me, but did you? Molly Ringwald wrote a piece. I think it was in the New Yorker, about her experience with being in those films, The Breakfast Club and 16 Candles, and the John Hughes. He wrote in some, you know, like John Bender, who was the guy in Breakfast Club. What's his name?
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson.
He was an abusive dick to her. And she wrote about that, and how, looking back, you know, she sees how he was abusive and how in the end he got the girl. So did you have an opportunity to read that?
I did.
What did you think?
Yeah. I think that we liked that sort of thing at one point, or we stood for that sort of thing at one point. I know I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know.
Too.
And I remember feeling like I never had the upper hand where boys were concerned, unless it was, and I'm talking, I say boys because I'm thinking of myself in high school. Unless it was a boy I didn't like that liked me, then I had the upper hand because I was in charge. But I always felt like I, I was surprised when someone I liked me back. So
yeah,
I always put myself, sort of in a subservient position, right? Which is stupid, because now, you know, I'm married for 15 years and Zach and I are equal, like nobody's business, you know? But I would have been, what was her name? Claire.
Claire, yeah.
I would have been Claire the whole time. You know,
me
I would
too.
Have sat there. I would have tried to make excuses for my privilege or my, you know, why I was a certain way. I would have felt insecure in standing up for myself. And I wouldn't have probably done anything other than bat his hand away when he had his head down under my, in between my legs. And I might have even been happy that I was getting that attention.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. You know, and so, yeah.
I agree. And I mean, I, you know, interestingly enough, I look at this in terms of, first of all, I know that there are criticisms, like people could say, don't watch that movie because it glorifies sexism or something like that. I still love that movie. I will always love that movie. Mm-hmm, it was a movie from my generation. And while it was the end of the movie, they obviously all went through this transformation and they accepted each other. But as Molly Ringwald pointed out, John Bender never apologized to Claire for his behavior. He said horrible things to her. He belittled mm-hmm. her. He humiliated her. He said things like, let's get the prom queen impregnated. You know, he looked up her skirt. And then in the end, she gives him her diamond earring and kisses him. And clearly, you know, signaling that they might start having some kind of a relationship. Now, even though it was apparent that, because I have two things to say about this, but the first thing is, even though it was apparent that they went through this transformation, I, as a 15-year-old girl watching this movie, completely identified with Claire, and there was actually a boy that my first boyfriend was in a way very similar to Bender, because he was like a punk rocker type, and he was... I don't know that he wasn't really abusive towards me, but he was going out with another girl, and I knew it, and I wanted him to choose me, and it was just stupid. It was like, I just would never do that now, but I so desperately wanted him to choose me, and so much so that I decided, no, I think I would have done this no matter what. He was the person I lost my virginity with, But there was this, and I think that, let's say there was no other girl in the picture, I still would have lost my virginity with him, because mm-hmm. there was something about him that was exciting and different and new. And he was also, because he was like a punk rock type, he was a rebellious person, and he was very well spoken. He was very well spoken. And I found that all very interesting and exciting. So I believe I would have lost my virginity, but there was the little voice inside of my head thought, well, if I have sex with him, then he's going to choose me. And happening was, not only did he have sex with me, he had sex with her too. So he just got to have sex with two girls. And, you know, eventually I figured that out. But that was kind of like my personal take was, I really thought about it after I read what she wrote. And I thought to myself, well, you know, there is this fine line where you don't want to have stories, movies, books, whatever, that are all just, that are not representative of reality. And I think at that time, that was our world, and that was the reality, and that's what was accepted. And so I realized that when I wrote Peyton's Choice, I kind of addressed some of these issues, because the lead character, Peyton, which was kind of loosely based on me, dated this boy, or, you know, 18-year-old guy, who he was a good guy, but he could be a dick. So instead of letting him get away with being a dick, which I think Bender kind of got away with it, the character that I wrote, Brad, didn't get away with it. He was called on his behavior. The lead character, Peyton, talked to him about things. She was called a slut by his friends. And so it was the same thing that you know, both Claire experienced and Peyton experienced, but it was... In my book, instead of writing Peyton to be somebody who just accepted it and said nothing, she spoke up. So I'm hoping that, you know, that's how this Me Too movement evolves as far as, you know, literature and stories and movies go, is that we can start incorporating stronger women speaking up for themselves instead of just getting so excited because the bad boy who treats us like shit likes us. You know, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what, I mean, my experience was there were lots of guys that I liked in school that were jerks. They didn't really, the one guy that was my boyfriend was kind of the only one that really liked me back. And was he my boyfriend? I don't know. He was really this other girl's boyfriend. And, you know, I lived in Torrance, California, and he lived probably about 40 miles away. He had a car. I didn't. They both went to the same school. I didn't go to school with him. So they were the ones that were holding hands every day in school, and they were the couple, and everybody knew them as a couple. And then he would come see me, and I kind of was like the girl on the side. I desperately wanted to be his girlfriend. I wanted him to choose me. And so I allowed him to shit all over me all the time and lie. And my best friend went to school with him, and she would tell me, Kim, they are, you know, and she called me Kim, you know, they're together. And then he would tell me some sob story. Oh, we're going to break up. We're going to do that. And then I'd wait like a dumb fool. And then, of course, they never broke up. They never broke up. So, so anyway, I just saw an opportunity with what Molly Ringwald was writing about, that people who are, you know, telling stories can write stories that are a little bit more empowering for women. And we can still represent reality. We just don't have to lay down and accept it.
Correct.
So there's my thoughts on that. And then the Tony Robbins thing.
Ugh, he makes me want to vomit. He's just a big hoarse voice clod who, you know, walking across fire, you know, he morphs it into whatever. I'm this motivational speaker. I'm going to tell you what to do. And he sits in front of a room of people in San Jose and tells that packed house that women who are jumping on the Me Too movement bandwagon are just seeking attention and validation. Fuck you. You want to talk to me about that? You tell me what it was like, Tony, when you were an 8-year-old little girl getting chased home on your bicycle on the university campus with no parents at home because they were too busy making $8,000 a year total and trying to get an education so they could keep a roof over your head. Wow. And I had to I rode my bike home. I was 8 and I got chased by a man who, after I laid that bike down and hopped a fence like a rat and stood on the other side, and he said, God damn it, you were too fast for me. You tell me what that feels like.
Yeah.
And when you're a 25-year-old woman fresh out of college trying to make a living, and the client that you've been doing business with for 2 years tells you he'll only renew his contract if you suck his dick. What's that like, Tony?
Yeah. And Tony, by the way, is like 6'7" or something.
Exactly. And he uses his physical force to try to show a woman what it's like to push back on him, forcing her down the aisleway. Like, it was all such a shit show and so wrong on so many levels. And then he comes back after he gets backlash all day long. He comes back with a forced apology. Go to hell. Get some sincerity, take some time, and actually do a little research and talk to women who have been pinned down underneath a drunk man in an alcohol-fueled haze, feeling like your life is in danger or you're going to have sex. You pick one.
Yeah.
And then come back after you've done some legit research, not because you didn't sell enough tickets to your motivational speech in Milwaukee. Go to hell.
And then, you know, the audacity. I've talked to celebrities who have said that, you know, that basically they didn't want to hire women because they were pretty women. They were too attractive and they would be trouble.
Right.
And
right.
This is such bullshit. And I have to say, Saturday morning, I was just already in an irritated, like, I woke up on the wrong side of bed. You know, you have those days. And so I saw that video of him doing that. And I was so angry. I mean, it really... I mean, I was already in a pissed off mood. So seeing that just set me over the edge. I was so angry. And at least there was one good thing. Now, this might have actually been on Sunday, because I think it was Saturday that I saw the Tony Robbins thing. On Sunday, I think, I don't know what it was, but some woman had posted that and like commented on one of my posts that some man privately messaged her to mansplain something. And so I said, you should post it. So then I posted something on my Facebook and Twitter saying that every time a man sends a private message to you mansplaining something, you should make it public. And maybe that will help, you know, make them stop or whatever. So this guy came on my post and he kind of mansplained that... that we have to be careful because sometimes men are just trying to be helpful. So I was a little bit sarcastic, but I held back and actually got to the point where the guy who said that, because I think this guy is a nice man. I think that he didn't really he doesn't understand the woman's experience with being explained to because that's basically being explained to is not helpful. It's condescending, unsolicited advice in a condescending manner. So, you know, we were going around and going around and going around. And eventually he said, you know, I'm sorry, Kimberly, you are correct, which I wasn't looking for a you are correct. I was just looking for, okay, we're on the same page, that you understand that don't go around offering unsolicited advice. It's one thing to put something on your Facebook page for all the world to see. It's another thing to privately message a woman to correct her or to tell her how she should behave, and or to go on to somebody else's post and do the same thing. And it happens all the fucking time. I'm not saying it's only men, because, you know, I like to say that there's conservasplaining and femsplaining, and, you know, anybody can be a splainer. Anybody can offer condescending
advice. I'm a splainer sometimes.
But I mean, you know, but it's like, it was like the combination of the Tony Robbins thing and some of these men who still don't get it and refuse to get it, because it's like, look, I understand. Look, I look at the whole Molly Ringwald thing and I say, I look back at that movie and I didn't really criticize what Bender was doing until I got older. And so, look, we all have evolution. We can all say, oh, I see it from a different perspective now. Instead of jumping to but women are pointing their fingers at men and blaming them for everything argument that the defensive men come up with. And what's so upsetting is that Tony Robbins is not the only one. Unfortunately, like, the biggest crush I ever had on any celebrity was for Liam Neeson. He pretty much said the same thing. And so does Bill Maher. You know, and it's like, what? What? You know, and Liam Neeson is also 6'4". So for him to take on that attitude that, you know, it's like this McCarthyism crap, you know, that women are, you know, yeah, some men are going to get hurt in this. Oh, well, too fucking bad.
Yeah. You know? Sorry.
Millions and millions and millions of innocent women have had to deal with this forever. And I don't want any innocent man to be accused of something. Obviously, I don't want that to happen. But when you have, you know, hundreds of years of women dealing with this, well, if a couple of innocent men get hurt along the way, I'm sorry, but we've got to fix this. Because there's always going to be somebody who's going to, you know, come up with, whether it's, you know, false accusations and stuff. But that is so rare. It's so rare, and the number is so small of the percentage of people who do that. So, you know, it's like, get over it. Get over it. Get on our team. It doesn't mean we want to take your rights away. It's just we're sick and tired of the fucking patriarchy.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the what's really cool is that this is so on the table now for discussion, you know?
Yeah.
And we, you know, you and I have this voice and clearly don't ever hold back, which is a good thing. But we, you know, I've got kids now who, and, you know, my husband and I teach our kids certain things, like, if it doesn't feel right, it isn't right, walk away from it. You don't ever have to do anything you don't want to do if somebody's requesting that of you, you know, other than, you know, learn and shit like that in school. But in the school, you know, I've mentioned this to you before, you know, I've had conversations with my son he's going to be 14 soon. And like, that's all going to start happening for him, you know, sexual experiences and things like that. And he knows, he goes, Mom, I know all about consent. Like, they talk about that. That's being taught to them in school, because social and emotional learning, something you and I never experienced in third, fourth, fifth, or seventh grade, or where, you know, wherever, that's something that my kids are privy to every day. There are classes, there are, you know, my daughter calls herself a kid. She says, I don't have to answer to anybody on the basis of my gender. I am a kid.
Yeah.
And that's it. Period. The end. And, you know, this is something that, you know, well, we're in California and the school is in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. However, social and emotional learning is a thing now. And so that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
That we're, you know, we're ranting and raving about, don't you mansplain to me, and don't you tell me you're going to force me to have sex because I am not going to do that with you, or you're not going to guilt me into it or whatever. It's people are talking about consent.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing. You know, good stuff is happening. We are moving in a progressive direction. And, you know, I feel so freaking optimistic after today and after, yeah. and after what all the stuff that you and I talked about with Scott, and the fact that Trump is going down,
going
baby.
Down. That's what I should have picked going down now that the Led Zeppelin song, that would have been perfect.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to start wrapping up. I just want to make sure everybody knows, I didn't say this on the free show, but, Molly Jong Fast, who's an author, is going to be on the next podcast. That's going to be April 25th. So that's going to be a fun conversation.
Hells yes.
But that's pretty much it for today. So this was good. It was a fun conversation. And we'll just see you next time.
All right, girlfriend.
Oh, and you know what? What's your Twitter handle?
At Lady Brain Show.
All right. Follow Steph. I'm author Kimberly. All right. See you next time.
Peace and love.